Welcome, everyone, to Family Talk. It's a ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute, supported by listeners just like you. I'm Dr. James Dobson, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us.
Well, welcome back to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the radio broadcast ministry of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, and today you're about to hear part two of Dr. Dobson's powerful conversation with author and speaker Johnny Erickson Tada. Now, if you're not familiar with Johnny's remarkable story, she became a quadriplegic after a diving accident in 1967. She was only 17 years of age at the time. Since then, she's become a beloved Christian author and an internationally renowned advocate for people with disabilities. She's also a great artist and a remarkable singer. In addition, she's the founder of Johnny and Friends, the ministry that has been serving people living with disability for over 45 years. Johnny Erickson Tada is the author of dozens of books over the years. The book we're going to be talking about today is called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. It's a devotional based on the timeless wisdom from 17th century monk Brother Lawrence. Now, of course, this is part of our Best of Broadcast collection, and at the close of today's program, I will tell you a little bit more information about how you can receive the 6-CD set of this cherished broadcast collection. It's a memorial tribute to Dr. James Dobson, who went home to be with the Lord on August 21st, 2025. Well, right now, let's continue with this classic conversation featuring Dr. Dobson and his special guest, Johnny Erickson Tada, talking about the practice of the presence of Jesus here on Family Talk. Here's where they continue the conversation for part two.
Item number 22 in your book, and you have a little over 100 of those pages that I described before. You have an item entitled Pain Defanged. I don't know whether that was written by Brother Lawrence or whether that's your explanation of it.
Well, you know, I deal with chronic pain. And sometimes we get very anxious about our physical pain. And we say things that are filled with worry and frustration, like, oh, bother, why do I have to deal with this? Oh, this is so hard. I can't stand this. But talking like that to your pain only makes it worse. It only exacerbates it. And so I have learned to what I call defang pain, like pull the fangs out of it, by talking to it quietly. And I will quote it scripture. I'll tell my pain. If I'm in bed and I can't move, I'll say, pain, you want to crush me. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 says that though I am hard pressed on all sides, I am not crushed. And so I'm going to believe that my God is greater than you, pain. I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to my God and his word. And I'm going to trust him that he's going to see me through this. And so then I take a deep breath and I enter, as it were. I embrace pain. I don't become anxious about it or wish it away. I just move through it. And in the middle of it, I always find my Jesus, who has transformed it into a place of reliance on him. And it's a doorway to hope and peace. And before you know it, I'm forgetting about my pain. I don't even feel its crunch or agony anymore because I've defanged it with the word of God.
I indicated earlier that Roger Marsh is here with us. He is introducing the program and sitting there 3 feet away from me. I'm going to hand you the book.
Okay.
The title is The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. And the item that we're talking about is chapter 22 called Pain Defanged. This on the right side is what Johnny has written. Mm-hmm. Would you read that to our listeners to give everyone a feel for what the book is all about?
Well, what Brother Lawrence writes is, I do not pray that you may be delivered from your pains, but that God earnestly that he would give you strength and patience to bear them as long as he pleases. And here's what Johnny wrote in response to that. People who regularly run marathons learn to live with pain. They defang pain in its terror by familiarizing themselves with its nuances and distinguishing features. They don't try to beat pain. Instead, they carry it with them, managing and minimizing it as best they can. I do the same. When pain becomes agonizing, I don't fear it. I breathe deeply and enter into it, much like the Hebrews who turned into Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. When they entered there, I expect to meet Jesus in there, just as those three Hebrews met the Son of God in the flames. Expect to meet Jesus in your pain, and you most certainly will. For he has already entered that awful place ahead of you. He transformed it by his power and presence and came out on the other side. He uprooted its dread and left it a place of resurrection and hope. So take a deep breath and step into your agony, anticipating that you'll see Jesus. He will give you courage to deliberately look pain in the face, study its stern features, and enter unafraid. Most of all, be patient. Quietly stand in opposition to your fear. Steady your soul and calmly let pain know that it will not and cannot overwhelm you. Your Savior assures, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior, will be with you. That's Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 through 3.
Johnny, that's just beautiful, considering what you've been through and how hard it has been. And to write those encouraging words for anyone who's going through difficult times. You want to elaborate on it?
Well, I certainly do. Pain is one of those things where it's a friend, but it's a dark friend. It's a guest, but it's an unwelcomed guest. And the reason I call it a friend and a guest is because pain is the very thing that forces us to rely on Christ all the more. If it were not for my pain, I don't think that I would lean as hard on Jesus as I do. And so in that regard, pain is a friend. At times a dark friend, a nasty friend, but it's a friend nevertheless, because pain escorts me to the foot of the cross. And what a great place to be. What a great place to find yourself when you have great needs that need to be met.
Well, those two pages stood out to me and really spoke to me, because I know what you've been through, Johnny, and to turn it over to the Lord and let him use it is a marvelous thing.
Well, I know that Shirley has also struggled with pain, and I've corresponded with her a couple of times about that. And it's always good to find other people who struggle with a similar ailment that you might, so that you can offer your encouragement.
Johnny, I know that you write about this in the book, and you've written about your family growing up being a really strong family. My family would be envious of all the hymns that you knew by heart and sang and shared that together. But I know your dad played a huge role in your faith, and I wonder, with his athletic prowess, I mean, being a championship wrestler and inducted into the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, what kind of example did he set for you? Now here you are in the state of quadriplegia and dealing with constant pain and struggle. How did that help you spiritually and mentally to accomplish what you've accomplished?
Well, even as a teenager, I knew my father dealt with a great deal of pain from his wrestling injuries mainly, torn ligaments, joints knocked out of place, and broken legs. He had his share of pain. But because he was an athlete, he was very disciplined. And it was that discipline, that get up in the morning and pull yourselves up by the bootstraps of grace and go out the door, trusting that God is going to give you the strength to do what you need to do. I saw my father do that every day, and he never complained. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says, "Do everything without complaining." My father was good at doing that. He did not complain. And so he said,
very few of us are good at that, though.
Right.
I'm not.
But he set such a good example. He really did. And so when I started to deal with pain, the memory of my father was very sweet, very near and dear. Again, as an athlete, those qualities of perseverance, the virtue of endurance, self-control, pushing through the pain. Yep, my dad was a great example.
Johnny, there's just so much in this book. I'd like to take you back to your early years, maybe before your accident. When did you find the Lord, and describe that experience? Take us back to who introduced you to the scriptures. Take us through that.
Well, I knew the scriptures growing up. My parents were Christians, but you know how young people are. You know, you just kind of like, okay, Dad, Mom, that's good for you. And it wasn't until I was in high school that I realized my need of Christ. I went away on a Young Life weekend camp. Young Life is an evangelistic outreach to young people across the country. And I went to a Young Life camp, and I heard the speaker talk about the Ten Commandments. And he challenged us kids to measure our lives up against those commandments one by one. And as I did, I realized how I was missing the mark. There was no way I could meet God's standard of righteousness. I was lost. But then I was a little bit confused, because why would God give us a bunch of commandments that he knew very well we couldn't keep? Well, it was like, bing, a light bulb went on over my head as I realized, that's why Jesus came. God knew that we couldn't keep those commandments, so he sent his son Jesus to live the righteous life for us. And that's when I realized, oh my goodness, what my mom and dad have been telling me is true. And so I opened my heart to Jesus Christ.
At what age?
That was at the age of 14. And by the age of 17, I was paralyzed and on a hospital bed and facing a life of sitting down for the rest of my life without use of my hands or legs. And at first I was very angry and very, how could a loving God allow something like this to happen? But I praise God that many Christian friends were praying for me. Those same friends who introduced Christ to me at Young Life. And they were the ones who encouraged me, cheered me on, befriended me once I got out of the hospital, didn't abandon me. And that friendship with Christians is what really pushed me forward in my own walk with Christ.
In reading the book, Johnny, I learned that the wickedness of the 1960s, when the Christian faith itself was challenged, you say that you were captured by some of that for a period of time. Did I read that correctly?
Oh, yes, you did. Jim, when I came to Christ, I thought at first that the abundant Christian life was the great American dream of losing your weight, getting a boyfriend, going off to college. And I was allured by the sexual revolution of the 1960s, much to my dismay. Now looking back, I'm ashamed of the things I did with my boyfriend. And in fact, in my senior year of high school, I prayed, God, I have fallen into a trap of my own making. I am so ensnared by sin and by lust, I can't even break free of it. And I'm living the life of a hypocrite. And I don't want to. I don't want to shame your good name. And so, God, before I go off to college, would you do something in my life that's going to jerk it right side up? Because I'm making a mess of my Christian testimony. I can't even call myself a Christian by the way I'm acting on a Friday night with my boyfriend.
Johnny, have you ever shared that before? Have you ever gone into that chapter of your life before? I don't remember ever hearing
that.
Well,
I have in a couple of places. But I guess writing this book, in fact, sharing that chapter of my life in this new book, I'm thinking there's so many young people, even Christian young people, who toy with addictions, whether it is addiction to drugs or addiction to Facebook, social media, addiction to sexual activity, and even Christian young people. And my heart breaks to hear this. And so this is one reason why I thought, I've got to warn some young people that if you're serious about God and you don't stay away from sin, sin might have you. You know, it might have you.
I am so glad that you put that story in there, because I lived through the 60s too. I'm ahead of you by 10 years or so. And I was on the university campus, and there was so much wickedness there. I mean, it takes your breath away. I was at USC, and it was no different than any other university. And I just saw everything that I believed in and cared about, and my love for the Lord and all of that, was overwhelming to me. I didn't get captured by it because I was ahead of that. But I saw it. I witnessed this. That is very interesting to me to hear your chapter, how you got through that era.
Well, unfortunately, I had been ensnared by it. I was captured by it. And I pray that as I share this in the book, people will understand that sin is a snare. It is insidious. It is deceptive. It will beguile you into thinking black is white and white is black. And you won't be able to discern the righteous path if you allow yourself to be taken over by habits, sinful habits and behaviors. So I think what the Lord allowed to happen in my life was a little bit of his discipline, not punishment, certainly. That was taken care of on the cross. God did not punish me with a diving accident, but he allowed it to discipline me, to reprove and correct me, and to get me ultimately back on the right path. And so I praise God for his wisdom in my life. It was a hard wisdom, and it was a hard discipline, but now, so many years later, I am so, so grateful.
Roger, you and I have been reading the same book. Do you have any?
It was fascinating. One of the quotes that Johnny has, and I'd love to get a comment from her in response to this, when you talk about pain and you talk about how pain never lets up, pushes you to the limits where you nearly collapse, and sometimes you do. But in your case, she wrote, pain has also melded my heart with my Savior's. I find comfort in the man of sorrows who is acquainted with grief. That's such a huge statement from someone who has a ministry, Johnny, of course, that like you said, you didn't plan on this and it's not like God was punishing you, but pain's been your constant in your life. And yet that you found that solace in seeing that for Brother Lawrence, it was the same situation.
Right. And you know, I believe that God shares his joy on his terms. And those terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as his own son, Jesus Christ, suffered. If we want to get close to Jesus, we're going to have to feel the sting of the cross that we bear. God will not allow a cross in our lives that is, what, 1 inch too long or 1 ounce too heavy, but it will be just heavy enough, just long enough that we simply cannot bear it by ourselves, and we must have his help. And when we go to him for help, he gives us so much more than just help. He gives us his courage and his endurance and his patience and perseverance. He gives us his joy, his hope, and his peace, and he increases our faith. So the tenderness with which I enjoy my relationship with the Lord Jesus is because I need him so. I just need him so. But he reveals a degree of sweetness and preciousness that I never would have dreamed possible many, many years ago. But leaning on him and relying on the man of sorrows, acquainted with my grief, well, he gives his joy in return. And I wouldn't trade it for any amount of walking.
What a beautiful way to conclude our time together here, Doctor. This was such an inspiring conversation about pain and suffering, but also God's purpose for it, in and through
That's
it.
Right.
And through Johnny's testimony, it's just truly remarkable.
Well, a good place to start is by reading this book, because there's so much content here. Johnny, you must be very excited about the book itself, because it's so different from what you've done before.
Well, I am, and it's up for the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association finalist in the devotional category. So I'm quite excited. Just being picked as a finalist is quite the honor.
As we come down to the conclusion of the program, let's talk about the title itself, The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. Unpack that for us.
Well, Jesus is worth knowing. It's worth any amount of suffering to know Jesus. So make it a practice, friend listening. Make it a practice to read your Bibles faithfully, to pray faithfully, and to be joyful in your hope and patient in your affliction. Practice his presence. And you'll find that you'll be calling him sweet and precious and near and dear as well.
Johnny, I always enjoy talking to you, and it's great to have you on the program, carrying on a tradition we've had for many years. Shirley and I did attend your wedding. Do you remember that we were there?
Oh, I sure do. I remember what you gave me. It was a beautiful cactus, bronze cactus, and I keep it on my hearth, and it's quite something. Dr. Dobson gave us that for our wedding.
Well, I thought you were going to say I gave you a kiss.
Well, you did too. You did that as well.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you here. How's Ken doing these days?
Ken is doing wonderfully well. He is amazing. What a good caregiver he is, my best friend. This is our 20th year in reading through the Bible together every year. We've done it now for 20 years. And I always tell him, Ken, my favorite time of the day is when I can sit down at the kitchen table with our open Bibles, a cup of coffee, and just read the Word together. That is a special time he and I share.
He has been a great husband and caregiver for you, hasn't he?
He really, really has. And I'm happy he's packing up to go fishing because the man needs a break from my disability.
You didn't object.
No, not at all. I push him out the front door with his fishing rods.
When you're ready to do another program with us, you give me a call because I always get something out of it, and I know our listeners do too. I appreciate you, Johnny, more than you can know, of your dedication, of your love for the Lord, of the way you've taught about the Scriptures. Your contribution to the Christian way of life has been remarkable, and I thank God for you.
And I thank God for you and Shirley as well, and all of the team at Family Talk.
We'll do it again.
Two longtime friends, Dr. James Dobson and his special guest today here on Family Talk, Johnny Erickson Tata. In 2024, Johnny and friends celebrated their 45th year of ministry, and Johnny herself recently celebrated her 75th birthday as well. That's a remarkable example of a life fully dedicated to serving God, nearly 60 years in a wheelchair, but Johnny's faith and passion for serving the Lord is stronger now than ever before. Now, the discussion you heard today here on Family Talk centered around Johnny's recent book called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. It's based on the writings of Brother Lawrence, a monk who lived in the 17th century and wrote about pain and what it means to be a child of God who understands lowly position and hardship. It's a book that Johnny wrote during the COVID pandemic. And if you'd like to learn more about Johnny's book and her ministry, you'll find that information and more when you go to our website at drjamesdobson.org/Family Talk. Right now here at the James Dobson Family Institute, we are excited because we have an extraordinary opportunity before us. Thanks to some incredibly generous friends of our ministry, the Dr. James Dobson Memorial Matching Grant has been established. This historic matching grant provides matching funds through December 31st, 2025 for up to $6 million. Now that means whatever amount God leads you to donate will be matched dollar for dollar and therefore doubled in size and impact. So if you make a donation for $50 today, that actually becomes $100 because of the Memorial Matching Grant. Your $50,000 donation becomes $100,000. You get the idea. This remarkable gift is an incredible memorial and a statement of confidence for the only organization entrusted by Dr. Dobson to carry out his legacy and expand his work to new generations and geographies. JDFI 2.0 is well underway, and you can make a secure donation online when you go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcasts. You can also call a member of our constituent care team at 877-732-6825, or if you prefer to write to us, address your envelope to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, P.O. Box 39000, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80949. Now, today's program was carefully selected as one of our best of broadcasts, and this year, the 2025 Best of Broadcast collection is a little different than before. In the past, we always looked back for a 12-month period and took the best programs, the best responded to, the most well-received programs from that year and included them in a six-CD collection. This year, with Dr. Dobson's graduation home to be with the Lord, we're honoring his legacy by including some specialty programs, including the first ever Family Talk broadcast. In addition, you'll hear the final interview that Dr. Dobson ever recorded and the last words Dr. Dobson spoke into a microphone here in the JDFI studios. Those are just some of the highlights on this year's 2025 Best of Broadcast Collection. You can request a physical copy of this listener favorite resource when you give a gift of any amount in support of the James Dobson Family Institute today. And remember, because of the James Dobson Memorial Matching Grant, that gift will be doubled up to $6 million. You can learn more about how to donate and receive your Best of Broadcast Collection when you go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or call a member of our constituent care team at 877-732-6825. Well, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for joining us today. On behalf of all of us here at Family Talk and the JDFI, we appreciate your prayers and ongoing financial support. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another one of the Best of Broadcasts from 2025. It's coming up on the next edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, the voice you can still trust for the family you love. This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.